Today's men's fraternity is entitled The Good Life and Where to Find It, and it made me think of a song by Tony Bennett all the way back from 1963. You ever stop and look at the lyrics of some of these songs? Oh, the good life full of fun seems to be the ideal. The good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, for you can't take the chance. So please be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown, like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss the good life, goodbye. Tony Bennett ended up naming his 1998 autobiography after that song. And in fact, as of 2009, he still performs the song live and jokes about the fact that he dedicates it to Britney Spears. Well, I look at this title, The Good Life and Where to Find It, and I see that God defines the good life differently. And as we're working through our notes together, the first question I ask is, can the good life be defined? And as you think about it, first of all, I want to say what it isn't. It isn't wealth and possessions. If you look at that chart there on the far left, if you were to write it out yourself, what it isn't. Wealth and possessions, it isn't that. I mean, we can see that in fame and fortune. Even in the lyrics of that song, you can see it. It also isn't in beauty. Those things are nice. It isn't even in thrilling experiences or personal accomplishments. So wealth and possessions, no. Beauty, no. Thrilling experiences, no. Personal accomplishments. I mean, there's been times in my life, even as a pastor, as a student, remember when I was going to be ordained and I was looking forward to that, and that was a great thing to be a Rev. And I have that title, but nothing really changed in me. I mean, I'm able to do weddings and funerals, marry and bury, but besides that, I'm the same person. When I was able to finally accomplish my doctorate, I was so glad to finally get that project done. That paper done. And it's a great thing. I'm happy for it. but I'm the same person. And if my life is tied up in those things more than what truly is best, and I never want to say to somebody, don't go for those things. That's fantastic. Work at wealth and being financially secure. There's nothing wrong with that. We want to look better. There's nothing wrong with that. Having some great experiences, having a bucket list, that's great. But I know loads of people that have done all those things, and that really isn't the good life. So that's what it isn't. What it is, it's close friends. It's a good marriage. It's control over your life. It's a vibrant religious faith. And that's what how the world defines things even. The statistics say when it all comes down, a group of close friends, a good marriage, a control over your life. I mean, we think about the times we're living in right now. There's a lack of control. It scares. It scares people. It creates anxiety. So what it is, isn't what it is. And then lastly, what the Bible says. And we see in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And so at the top there, what the Bible says, love, it's the greatest, it's at the top there. And then below that, hope, and below that, faith. So as we look at that chart, we see that if we were to have those things lined up of love and hope and faith, that's the good life. And under Roman numeral 2, faith and a woman, letter A, the good life is a triangle. We see in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, you notice something interesting in that verse? It mentions the couple, two, two, two. It just keeps saying that about two. But the last thing is, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. This goes back to my point here. The good life is a triangle. And the letter B, the triangle effect, if you could put God at the top of the triangle, a man on one side and the woman on the other, and as they move toward God, they get closer. Can you see that picture there of the triangle? If God isn't in the picture, then you could have a line at the bottom there, man on one side, woman on the other, and it'd be a picture of a rope there, and there's a tug of war going on. And so as I speak to you on this, and as you're thinking about what does this matter, this is a good time for you to stop and think, am I trying to do this marriage thing, this relationship thing, this men's life thing without the Lord? Point number three, Roman numeral number three, our faith. Letter A, my faith. See the verse, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. See, God, we need to put our faith and trust in the living one, Jesus Christ, who's the only way to God. And that letter B, life-giving faith, we see in 1 Peter 1:3-4, according to his great mercy, you can underline that, God has caused us to be, underline this, born again to a, underline again, living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, And then one more time underlining, reserved in heaven for you. See, number one, it starts with God's great mercy. Number two, it is offered through a living hope. Number three, it promises a secure future. John 11:25 says this, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And number four, it comes alive only when you die and are born again. So that's our faith. Have you taken that step of faith? Have you acknowledged your need of a Savior? Lord, I know I'm a sinner. You said all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I know I can't save myself. I can't do enough good things to outweigh my bad. And even then it wouldn't matter because I'm still stuck with the bad. I need someone to wash away my sin. So I'm asking you to take my life. Make me a new person. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Make me new. I'm doing that today. Would you take that step? Lord, save me. And if you have, so what's next? Well, I'll tell you. Tell someone close to you that you've taken that step. They'd be very happy. And then B, find a group of people seeking to follow Jesus and join them. That's what church is for. We don't go to church to save us. We go to church because we've been saved. Well, questions for your group here. Number one, what was the most important thing you heard in today's session? And explain that. Number two, which term best describes your relationship with God? And choose one and tell why. Is it cloudy? Is it confused? Is it close? And then thirdly, is your relationship with God working for you in real life? Why or why not? That's the good life.